Hot round! Red 7, Red 7, Red 7! Don!
What?
Red 7!
I don't know what Red 7 means.
I call it the annexation of Puerto Rico.
You don't think that lame-ass play where I run down the field and act like I'm lost is gonna work, do you?
Booyah! That's what we call a sack lunch!
Nom, 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 nom.
Get me the ball.
You need the ball.
Get me the ball.
Get me the ball.
That's gonna make the difference between winning and losing. Yeah. Between living and dying.
Welcome in to 11 Personnel. Nick Roush and Adam Luckett here today to talk to you about Kentucky football. They lost by 60 on Saturday. That was bad. Good news is that really, Luckett, I couldn't have been happier with the news that just broke before we decided to record. And that's that the guy that Kentucky is just took out to the woodshed in their first ever meeting, the only time they've ever met him, he cried about L's down. He was just all shucks, all good old boy until the L's down. And then Scott gets a little bit of scared. And now he's going to go off to South Carolina to be their head coach. He's not going to be their head coach like it, but he's one of a few people that South Carolina is interviewing. And I think it's hilarious, like, that he's actually getting an interview for this head coaching vacancy.
Yeah, I'm getting some Fuente vibes there with Scott Satterfield, where he's trying to get out kind of thing, but he's not really that much of a candidate at other places. Fuente publicly kind of went after the Baylor job last year and couldn't get it. And then it's going to lead to some awkwardness, obviously, when he has to address this in the media, especially if he doesn't get it. So we'll see how he handles it. But on a surface level, just on Satterfield, we can get in the South Carolina search because I think they're kind of making it obvious who they're going to hire or who they want to hire as of right now. Like, you have to worry, like, is a fit there for him? Like, behind the scenes, is he like, I like it here? Is this someplace I think I can win at long term? If he's looking at a job like this, a South Carolina job like we talked about, that's not really set up to win pretty easily right now, that would sound some alarms. If you're in his camp or if you're just in the Louisville's camp in general, I think this is – I look at this as kind of a warning sign that maybe he's kind of worried about the future. Or maybe he's just all shucks. He's just got to get back in the Carolinas. Carolina calling him home like Eric Church sings about.
Oh, man, great song, too. One of his best. Also, Eric Church, he was one of my favorites for a while, and he's gotten all broke country lately. But, like, it, there's Living a Part of Life. Great original sound. That first CD, or what do you call it, album, CD, whatever you want to call it, that first one, great song, great to start to finish. That one's very good. I highly recommend.
Damn good.
Yeah, start to finish. Great, great album. But that's some good country music. Man, taking me back like it, because I'm not a big country guy anymore. But that was that and Chief. Chief came out when I was in college living in the frat house, and we'd play the hell out of that. You know, like you'd have your classic rock vibes, you'd have your rap nights, and then you'd have some where we're putting our boots on and we're getting country, and we ripped the hell out of some Chief. But I digress.
Right there with you.
The thing that I took, my first immediate takeaway like it when I saw that was, man, they do not have a deep pool of candidates that want this job. I mean, in the athletics report, they also talked about the Beamer guy, who's Oklahoma's offensive coordinator.
He's never been an offensive or defensive coordinator. This is just the CEO kind of sell, the Dabo sell, what Sam Pittman's doing now. Mm-hmm. It's just, I've been around a while. He's got a fancy last name.
Yeah. And, coach, and that carries he coached, weight around there.
He coached at South Carolina in their heyday under Spurrier. So he's got some players backing him. He's probably got Spurrier in his back pocket, plus his dad in his back pocket.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what that kind of is. And that, to me, that seems like who they want to hire. I think they kind of like Bobo. Hiring Beamer would allow them to keep him, and then he can go out and use his connections to hire the rest of the staff.
They don't have to pay that, to fire Bobo.
I think that's the sell. And they want to get a coach in here right away. They could hire Beamer tomorrow if they wanted to. Like, he would leave Oklahoma tomorrow. to be. And I think that's who they want to hire. And if you read Josh Kendall's post with Athletic that came out, he talks about it, kind of goes over all the candidates, whatnot. Billy Napier wasn't at the top.
Well, and he wasn't too, because, well, at least he can't be interviewed because he just tested positive for COVID. So it kind of screwed up his chance of getting an in-person meet and greet.
But here's the thing with that, in my opinion. Napier is – he had Mississippi State. He had Baylor. They both came after him hard last year, Arkansas.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he can be choosy on where he wants to go. He's kind of like the hot name right now.
Mm-hmm.
And to get him, South Carolina's going to have to pay a good chunk of money. I don't know after the buyout if they're really willing to do that or not. He really hasn't proved it on a big level yet. So, like, to me, that's the guy you hire. You do what you can to make that your hire. Get that done. But it seems like they're not doing it. And then they leaked all this to the media already. The president's running this search, and he's a
no nonsense.
He's a loose cannon. He comes off as a loose cannon.
He showed up to the Greenville newspaper and just like started spouting off at him, like just went into a conference room with him and just talked for like an hour on the record. He's a wild card.
Yeah.
Now, the other name that was floated out there was, now I'm drawing a blank, the Coastal guy.
Jamie Chadwell.
Yeah. So
that's why, to me, it's like Beamer and Chadwell you can get for 15 cents on the dollar, probably, when compared to some of these other coaches. So if you're trying to save money, which really you should never make a hire like this. Like, you should hire who you think is the best coach. Like, it shouldn't be about money. This is a bigger impact than what you're paying the head coach.
Right. Because that's ultimately why they fired Muschamp, is because he didn't inspire donors, and that's where the real money is.
Yeah.
And that's why I think it's bizarre. Like, what? Man, the Satterfield decision to get his name in there, and really the only reason why they're interviewing too is because of his connections to the area. But
I'd be pissed if I was Satterfield that got out. As bold as it did.
Yeah. And like,
it'd be one thing if he was interested, but to have it in there saying that he is interviewing for this job.
Yeah. And I mean, because what was the terminology that was used in the Stoops hire? Or whenever he talked with Florida State? What was there was chatter.
It was kind of like a conversation. Like, they had a preliminary talks.
Yeah. Which... that's what, if you're Satterfield, that's how you would want to phrase it. And then you say, I turned him down. But, you know, like, you can rally people around there. Like, kind of how Stoops did. Stoops played it kind of.
He can do that thing. But now, I think a little fan base, they're probably upset about it. It seemed that, at least that's what I'm seeing on Twitter machine.
Oh, Mangus was fired up. And what I like, too, is that they considered Satterfield like a backup plan that, well, you know, he's going to be here for a while. And if he pumped and dumped him after 2 years, because the cupboard's going to be pretty bare once, now that you got Javion Hawkins gone. And is Tutu Atwell, is he just a sophomore or is he?
He's a junior. They're the same. They were the same recruiting class, him and Hawkins. So like, Bobby's last full class.
If Atwell decides, like, I'm good on this Scott and his tots, like, what does he have there? I mean, I know they got Fitzpatrick. They recruited his little brother last year.
I mean, next year is a year where we'll start to see his recruits. He would get Cunningham back as a redshirt senior quarterback.
My Kentucky roll call producer, Trevor Kelce, just loathes. And it's like him or Carson Wentz, you know, who's going to throw
deep
balls and interceptions.
Well, Louisville's they've been spoiled by quarterbacks. If you think he's a bad quarterback, I'll come show you some bad quarterbacks.
Yeah, you've got two starters in the NFL right now. They're spoiled. Yeah.
Right.
But nevertheless, I posed the question on Twitter. And this really is it's difficult. Because here's the thing. Satterfield might end up being a decent coach. We don't know. The jury's out. But the one time Kentucky's played him, kicked his ass. Kicked his ass real good. And he whined about it afterwards. It was a lot of fun to just pile up on him. So my question to you, Luckett, where would you rather see him? And this is being a very cocky, schmarmy Kentucky fan, as like Tony Vannetti would describe it. But if you've got a coach, how Louisville fans used to say, like, keep Mark Stoops there so we can just keep beating him up. We're gonna flip that and reverse it. Would you rather have Satterfield at Louisville or South Carolina? Both teams you play once a year. One of them you get a trophy afterwards after the game if you win. It's big for recruiting. The other one, it's in your division, and it's a team that you've pretty much owned, except for last year when you didn't really have a quarterback going into that game. But in order to maintain the level you're at in the SEC, you've got to win that game regularly. So, Luckett, where would you rather have Scott Satterfield, South Carolina or Louisville?
Satterfield has yet to prove that he can go toe-to-toe with Kentucky on the recruiting trail. Since he's gotten here, Kentucky has kind of owned the state. Specifically against Louisville, they've just steamrolled them. And Louisville's a school they recruit against a lot. So I would prefer him to be at Louisville.
See, and that was my answer. It was going to come down to recruiting, because the thing is, like, it is, you know, once we
– That was the question with Satterfield, and we still don't really know. This class he's got in 2021 is pretty good, but there was also a lot of good Kentucky players, and he didn't get any of them.
Yeah, he's gotten one guy that UK also recruited, and that was Jordan Watkins in 2 years. And
like this class he's got is good for him, but the fact that he, in a good Kentucky crop, he couldn't get anybody, and he had to go out and kind of use resources elsewhere, that tells me a lot of things probably went right for them on the recruiting trail this past year. What happens if, you know, you don't have such a great year, or you come off a year like this season, or in 2022, and you don't have the Kentucky crop to fall back on, and you have maybe a bad – that's just the thing with him. It's just proving it year over year that he can really do it recruiting-wise is the huge question with him.
Because here's the thing, too, so Kentucky, all of the top prospects essentially in the state who aren't going to UK, they're going out of – you know, they're going to Notre Dame or I'm blanking on it. Ohio State, Dunn's going to Ohio State.
Yeah, those are the two.
The thing is, in a lot of these guys, where you had like their finalists,
they're not even competing against.
No, they're not even in the mix. I mean, Purdue is more in the mix than Louisville is, and that's got to be. I mean, it's right where Kentucky wants to be. If you're a Louisville fan, I mean, because who's even their guys? At Pete Nocta, is he supposed to be their local guy? Like, I don't know, man.
Seems like they got two guys really doing it recruiting wise. It's Court. Is that his name?
Court Dennison.
Court Dennison. And then they just hired a linebacker coach who's really, like, I think got some connections in Georgia. It's got him rolling a little bit down there. I can't think of his name right now. It's his first year on the staff.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, you look at, they've got some good kids from North Carolina, from Georgia. But it's just weird. They're not – the only local kid they did have was that kid, the offensive tackle in New Albany, Zen Mikowski or Michalowski, or he had some Polish name. But he's going to – Ohio State flipped him. He's going to be the 1-3-star in Ohio State's class.
Brutal. Oh, you hate to see it. You absolutely hate to see it. But I just – I was so happy that news happened before we started the show because, frankly, Luckett – that Alabama game is not one that's a lot of fun to talk about because, I don't know, man, going into this, you kept asking, saying, like, this is a measuring stick for Kentucky's offense. What can you show us? I think that got turned on its head upside down a little bit when you lost Chris Rodriguez. But look, they still moved the ball. They got it inside the 10 twice on two out of the first three drives. And then bad snap. And then – I forget what happened on that fourth drive, but you had another one where there was a bad snap hold situation.
The holding call, Landon Young, was brutal.
Yeah, on the second drive where Smoke gets down to the two, and you think you're going to punch it in, and it just So, like it, here's your measuring stick. How did the Cats measure up?
They didn't come close, man. It's just – nothing has been easy this entire season. I mean, even Kentucky gets some good drives going and they can't score points, which has been the weird. It's just been weird. because you come into the season with this offensive line, senior quarterback, you think you're going to be pretty efficient on offense. We knew all season creating explosive plays is going to be an issue for the team, even before the season started. But we thought the efficiency would be there and they'd be able to finish drives in the red zone. And they really haven't all season. They have been bad, bad at finishing drives all year. It's been an issue. Other than Vanderbilt and Ole Miss, finishing drives with touchdowns has been a big issue for this team. And then you saw in this game, they didn't have Chris Rodriguez, so they didn't have their monster efficiency weapon.
Right.
And so they didn't have them to go to. And then it snowballed on them, and they just couldn't get out of the way. I think, you know, when we talked during the bye week, what I said was I wanted to see the defense really keep getting better and crank it up in this last part of the season. Don't let the offensive ineptitude, derail the progress they've made on defense. Well, since we came back from the bye week, they've taken two big steps back. They've allowed 12 touchdowns on the last 13 scoring opportunities teams have had. So they're not getting – they're just not getting stops. They're bending and they're breaking.
Yeah, yeah. And so, the thing was, too, I remember when you asked me that question and I didn't even bat it. Like, I just assumed that was a given, that the defense would just keep on grinding it out. And they
– when you're tagged with an offense like that, that's always – It can happen at any moment. It's just like a boxer. Like you hang in there and you fight, but eventually the body blows just get to you. And I think that's what's kind of happened with this defense. They just know in the back of their minds that, you know, as soon as Alabama scored 21 points, they just like the defense knew the game was
over. Yeah. It's almost like the old, like the Chicago Bears teams where Peanut Tillman and Suggs was a Ravens guy.
No, Lance Briggs.
Briggs, yeah, there we go. That was the double G that I was thinking of. But like those teams where they were incredible in defense, but they had to win games, you know, 13-10 because their offense was just an abomination to football. And it's kind of where Kentucky's at right now because the times that they actually do get humming, They don't turn it into points, and that's been a problem all year long. I just looked it up, like 12th in the SEC in touchdown percentage in the red zone.
Yeah,
just a clip over 50%.
Yeah, on scoring opportunities, they're putting up like three and change points per chance to score.
That's so bad.
Yeah, so like we've seen twice against Alabama and Georgia, two defenses that are good, got a lot of talent, but they're not like these. They're not the Bears defense like you just talked about.
Mm-hmm.
You should be able to score on these defenses. And the fact that they put up 6 points in 8 quarters, it's just like whatever you're doing ain't working.
Yeah. Well, the thing was, Luckett, is at the beginning of the game, we were seeing things that at least look different to where Keaton Upshaw is just running downfield without anybody on him. And that is something we haven't seen all year. And for them to like be capable of that, yet only get one first down in a half, you know, that's the part where there's justifiable frustration.
Right. I try not to get too hard on them for that because, I mean, Chris Rodriguez is their identity. That's what they want to do. Without him, they don't really have that, what they can go to. And, like, when you script up, you know, your first 20 plays in a game, you can do that. But eventually, you got to go back to what you do, like your identity. What you've run since the beginning of the year. You can only have so many plays scripted up for a week, I think. You have to have your base package, your 8 to 10 plays.
A lot of slants in that base package.
Yeah, that you run and that's your go-to, that you have to be good at, that you do 1,000 times, that no one can stop. Like, you should – don't matter what front you see or what – you should be able to succeed at this play because this is what you do. And Kentucky just – they just couldn't find it there on Saturday. I mean, it's kind of a double-edged sword because I don't get on them too much because, obviously, you lose Rodriguez on Friday. They come out and say you lose Rigg, who's – you know, not the greatest player, but he's an important piece of a lot of stuff they do on offense. So it kind of scraps your game plan for the most part. But at the same time, they haven't used Rodriguez like he's their best player.
Yeah.
It's just frustrating. It's what they're doing right now. It's just not working. And I know, like, we've heard Stoops this week talk about you know, all they've been through. The staff, like, they only had offensive staff member, one or two, for the last couple of weeks at practice
Since the Tennessee game, they've had at least one or two absences.
Yeah, but this is – some of these offensive issues kind of – they've stretched over 5 years for Grant. Like, I put up a stat this week, and, like, he's on 35% of his – or 37.5% of the SEC games he's been a coordinator in. The offense has scored 15 points or less.
So a third of the time, they're not getting more than two touchdowns a game.
Right. So you're entering a phase, which is looks like this conference is trending in a certain direction where you're going to have to score points.
Mm-hmm.
And a third of the time you go out, you're only getting two touchdowns. It's like, well, it's going to be hard to win moving forward if we're doing that. So you have to figure out something has to change. And it's not an easy decision for Mark Stoops, because I know, like, the fire Grant has come up with, and I've gone back and forth with it, whether they need to change or not change. And I kind of dug in and tried to find some candidates this weekend. And I mean, it's, you're talking yourself into a lot. I mean, there's no real for sure thing. I think right. I got one to two that I would feel really good about if he could pull off, but it's not for certain. So I don't know. They got to figure out something. The problem is the Kentucky style of play, I think, works. I think it's a proven style. But you can't do any of it without – if you can't get explosive plays in the pass game, you're wasting everybody's time. You're not going to do anything if you cannot do that. And I think that's the biggest issue facing them right now.
Yeah, and moving forward, Josh Ali is your top recruiting target for next year, because you need to have somebody who you can at least – it's a known quantity. And – you hope that you can have him bring along some of these freshmen from this year, maybe get a transfer or so. I don't know. But I mean, especially with the new rule that's likely coming in January where they can play right away, go to the portal. The portal's been kind of
They need to be refreshing the receiver page on 24/7's transfer portal every day to see who's out there, because they have to get some help there.
Yeah, they just have to. And there's no way around it. So, but Eddie Green had an interesting quote today, and it was just like a line that he some of these things with these coaches, man, sometimes you never know, like, what's going to elicit their response. Cause he starts when asking about the criticism, he says that he doesn't read anything, which, I mean, there were telltale signs that he was in fact reading things. By the way, he was responding to some of the questions. I never believe that any of these coaches don't read anything, not for a single second. He says, well, it must be bad because I'm getting texts from friends all over the country.
That's where I thought you were going.
But the one thing that I did that he snuck in here was later on in this quote. I'm just going to kind of skim over some of it. You can read it all at KentuckySportsRadio.com. says, I'm going to do my best for the University of Kentucky each and every day. Our job is to go out there and get better this week. That's what we're trying to do. Kids have been awesome. Players phenomenal. Try to keep a great attitude, and that's all you can do. This is a tough, tough business. If you've got the faint of heart, you're not going to last. It's part of the job, part of the position I have. People make decisions. I'm going to do what I've got to do to make this football team better each and every week. And the people make decisions line, like, it, I know it's just three words, but he's at least, like, he knows that's out there, that people are talking about kicking his ass to the curb. And I don't know. Do you read into that anymore? Or is that just something he's kind of?
I mean, we could do some digging on this. Like, I do think there's something there to. Kentucky goes to Joey Gatewood. There's rumors that Terry Wilson is going to opt out.
Mm-hmm.
They play the game. They get Terry to stay. He's on the sidelines for the Georgia game.
Mm-hmm.
Joey Gatewood plays. And after playing the toughest defense he saw all year, did some good things, did some bad things. They just don't play him. Like, they just don't play him against one of the worst defenses they're going to play in the next game. So you don't really get to see what Gatewood has. There's definitely some bells ringing in my head that there was maybe a a coaches meeting saying that
this is what we're going to do, damn it.
Well, we need Terry. Like, if we're going to succeed, we need Terry. And it's almost like them saying to Stoops, we can't do this without Terry. And then Stoops saying, okay, like giving you a, all right, well, I'm going to give you this chance, but you got to do something with it. If you don't do something with it, you know, it might be time to move on kind of thing. I mean,
we also had that awkward Henshaw thing where he talked about just hugging Terry.
Yeah, it was just – that move just does not make sense to me. Why you would we don't know the severity of that wrist injury Terry had, but certainly looked fine when we saw him. So I think there was definitely something there because that was just – that's just a strange move. To start a quarterback one game against the toughest team you're going to play for what appeared to be not – we don't think – I mean, I think we're all smart enough to realize that there was definitely like – so there was an opt-out issue that could have happened there.
Yeah, yeah.
So – and then you go back to the guy, your starter. It just seemed like – I don't know. It just seemed like somebody in the program probably stood up for him saying we need him to start. But why would you go do that and whatnot? It just
– well, and then you throw in John Charman and all that into the – I mean, that's where, like, part of me, Lucky, is trying to be super critical and because I feel like that's part of my job. But on the other hand,
it's football. It's a small sample size sport. We only get so many games to judge these guys off of.
And we get fewer this year, and it's all SEC teams. And then you add into the weird COVID protocols, and then on top of that, you know, you've got a coach dying on you. And I mean, everybody's human. Like, dude, like, it's not like this job we have is that freaking hard, but it wears on you when it comes around Thanksgiving. Just all of it, you know, it's football season. It wears everybody down to a certain degree. And these guys have been essentially doing it since like June or something, where they've been doing all these COVID protocols and everything. Like, there's really a human element that I do want to give them the benefit of the doubt. But how much? I don't know. I don't know how much, but I can't completely crap on them because they've definitely been doing something right. There's a solid foundation there. There's something's gone wrong with the offense, and it's got to be fixed.
The foundation is fine, but it's clear that they need, like, some new paint in the living room or a new entertainment stand or maybe a different kind of couch.
Definitely a new TV. I mean, you got plenty of Black Friday deals right now. You know, why not upgrade?
Yeah. They need just – I think they just need a spark. And you're right about Schlarman. And, like I keep bringing up the Missouri game in my head, but then that was also the first game they didn't have without him. So, obviously, they were probably, you know, going through something there.
When he didn't travel, I think the right – you know, they're not – we're not idiots, you know. Yeah. Sharman's been there the whole step of the way, and then he's just not showing up. Like, it's not a good sign for what's to come.
Yeah. So, but then I also go back on it. There's no excuse for them not to be like using Chris Rodriguez as more of a focal point of the offense. Like, and that fact that hadn't really happened until the Georgia game, I think was kind of a pretty big glaring mistake. In hindsight, and just I think the game plans in general they've had this year has just been kind of like, well, what are we doing here, kind of thing. This seems silly.
Yeah, there's a couple just like huge whiffs that were pretty uncharacteristic. Where if they were missing, it wasn't just like an all systems failure kind of deal. So
yeah, I mean, the Mississippi State game. Like, the story leaving that game and long term will be just what Kentucky's defense did and how fun that was. But it was also the offense was god awful. I mean, there were a couple fumbles that could have – Terry had one backed up that they caught a fumble on the field and overturned it. And then he had the safety that Alan Daly picked up. Like, those could have been Mississippi State touchdowns. It wasn't far from that. Then the offense was so bad. And they – that game, Kentucky could have won that game like 42-0.
Yeah. But
it was so bad.
And that's been the off. But, and the thing is, though, Luckett, that I like, Yes, but also in retrospect, Kentucky, I mean, I know it's one stat that I keep hanging my hat on that I just haven't done a lot of digging, but I saw that stat and was shocked. But the 2016 team and the 2019 team were ranked second and third all time in yards per play in school history. Like they moved the ball well. They were explosive when they had a couple weapons out there. And, you know, one of the other things that he was asked about tonight, and he'd said it in the nicest way, but Josh Moore was like, you know, Alabama and Florida, these offenses are really going at a crazy level. He's like, well, you know, what's kind of the deal? And he's like, well, personnel has a lot to do with it. I mean, you got Trayvon Grimes, Kadarius Toney, Kyle Pitts, a little bit easier to rev up your offense than, you know, no offense to these guys, but that's where I don't know the answer to it yet. I haven't come to that conclusion, and a lot of it's going to be dictated on the last two games of the year.
Right.
But do you trust that guy? Do you give him a chance with some of the young pieces that he's helped recruit here? Or do you say, you know what, we need to get a young guy in here, and even though it might be something different than what they recruited here for, let's give somebody else a shot and see what they can do.
You make the recruiting argument, they're playing with the guys he recruited this year.
No, you're right. You're right.
And then they stop bringing in his recruiting areas. Like, they're kind of, I mean, like, there's, I think Grant has done a good job.
Mm-hmm.
But there's a lot of, like, to me, some writing on the wall. Like, it just, you need to just go ahead. I think it's going to be best for both parties if you just move on.
And maybe that might have been his comment today. Maybe, because there was some, what game was it? It was the Missouri game where Stoops had I've got some tough decisions to make. Maybe that was a part of the Terry Wilson conversation, Joey Gatewood conversation. Who knows? But it could be a spicy offseason. Like, it. I'm curious though. You had the John Summerall name ready to roll last time. You shot your shot. I'm curious. You said you had one or two that would be palatable. Just, you know, for maybe folks out there who just want some names to keep an eye on, maybe to look them up this Saturday, check out what they've got to offer. What
you come up with? There's a guy by the name of Kale Gundy. He's Mike Gundy's little brother.
Does he have a mullet?
I don't think so. He's been at Oklahoma since he was in college. He's done everything you could think of in Oklahoma football program. Majority of his time, his brother was there. He doesn't call plays. He's kind of he's the offensive coordinator in name now. What's the relationship there? Could you get him? I think that would excite a lot of people. You bring somebody off Lincoln Riley's tree.
Yeah. And you give him the chance to call plays. Yeah.
It's not full out air raid. It's in the, you know, it's kind of a hybrid kind of offense that they do a lot of air raid stuff, but they're not running tempo. If you watch Oklahoma, they're not really put on the gas 100%. And they're creative, unique offense. And he's worked under, you know, Lincoln Riley, Josh Heupel, who's doing good things at UCF, Mark Mangino, who Mark Stoops has a really good relationship with, and other guys. So that's the one name.
Makes sense.
So, and then like other ones, Kevin Wilson was one of Bob Stoops' offensive coordinators at Oklahoma. He was head coach at Indiana, did some good things, but he got fired for like some player abuse.
Yeah, I don't know if Mitch Mark would have to do a lot of convincing for Mitch to give him that green
light. He's at Ohio State right now, but he doesn't call plays. And Ryan Day is not going to be at Ohio State for very much longer. Like, he's going to go to the NFL.
Mm-hmm.
Give him a chance to call plays, who knows? Now, Kevin Wilson kind of trained this guy named Kevin Johns, who moved on, worked with Cliff Kingsbury at Texas Tech, worked a year for Mike Norvell at Memphis. Now he's Memphis's offensive coordinator. It's not full-on air raid, but they do some tempo-type stuff. But he – like, if you want to talk about modernizing the passing attack, that's kind of guy that would come in and would modernize the passing attack.
Right.
So, like, there's some names out there. And, like, if you just wanted to go old school SEC, Mike Bobo is going to be a free agent, possibly. And the guy can recruit his ass off. Like, he's going to get you some dudes from Georgia up here. So, and he gets under center, he runs the ball, but he also does some more, like he proved to Colorado State he can do some throwing stuff. But, you know, but there's no, like, there's no
obvious
for sure answer. I think when Stoops got rid of Shannon Dawson, I think he thought he was getting Lincoln Riley. And it looked like at a time he was going to get him until
Stoops
thought his brother came along.
Was he East Carolina?
Yeah.
Yeah. Man.
And if you look at Lincoln Riley, he was good, but he wasn't.
Like, he wasn't three Heisman Trophy guys in a row.
Yes, he wasn't off the charts like this stud of all studs. He was young, and we thought he could grow into something, and then he just exploded at Oklahoma.
Well, and here's the thing. Stoops has had a pretty good track record of hiring coaches. I know Shannon Dawson didn't jive, but he's done pretty good at hiring guys, excluding the receivers room. And like you said, he had his eye on Lincoln Riley, and he just lost out with his brother Bob for that sweepstake. So if there's some guy out there that he's had his eye on and he's willing to make a move for it, I'd trust him. But I do like that you've at least kind of set the table if that were to happen. And, you know, I don't think – look at a, I think I can speak for you and say I don't think we're on the standing on the corner shouting fire Eddie Grand just yet. I mean – maybe some wheels are already in motion. You know, I don't know. I mean,
last eight quarters is going to tell a lot. Like, if you go down here and you put up 10 points at Florida, a Florida defense that's not great.
That's not good. They don't tackle, especially their run defense is not good.
It's pretty average. So if you go down there, you can't score points. And then you go, maybe you play South Carolina, you win 17-13. I mean, I know like this season's so weird and you have to judge it on a curve. Like you do have to judge it on a curve, but the problem is we don't know how big of a curve. And I think you have to look at, when I look at this, I'm looking at all 5 years.
Mm-hmm.
They just can't create a passing game. They just can't, like, it's been five seasons. We have five times, you know, four times 13 plus 10 more. We're going to have all those games. All that stuff to pull. It just hasn't happened.
Well, and the thing too, Luckett, is I thought that if the passing didn't work, they would just run the shit out of the football and just mow teams down that way. And that's what they did last year. And they've got guys back there to do it. And they didn't even just say, you know what, screw it. We're just going to run the damn ball down your throat and we're still going to score points that way. And they haven't even been able to do that.
Yeah. That's why I don't really buy into the Stoops, like that he,
holds him back or whatever.
Yeah,
I don't buy that either.
Holds the offense in their stomach. Like, it was up to Mark Stoops. We'd be hitting the damn Wildcat if we would punt on third down. You know, our All-American punter.
Yeah.
So, like, I don't necessarily buy that, that specifically.
And I don't buy this, like, oh, we're never going to – Mark Stoops will never want a passing offense. Like, dude, do you remember how many times Sawyer Smith threw it in that Florida game when Kentucky had a lead at halftime?
Well, just his first three hires were – you know, air raid, and then Grand was running tempo, and they were throwing the ball over the place at Cincinnati in the Drew Barker game, the first half against Southern Miss. What happened is Stoops just, he's had enough. He just doesn't want tempo.
Yeah, which is fair.
You don't have to do. Yeah. I still think the base foundation, the base formula is right. It's try to possess the ball, do some type of ball control on offense. Keep your defense in good spots, play this dink and dunk style on defense, and then try to get stops back, that be good at getting stops back up. But to do that, at some point in time, you got to be able to throw a haymaker. You got to be able to go get a 45-yard gain. You got to be able to hit a nine route and just gain 33 yards on a first down. Like, if you can't create those explosive plays, it makes it so hard. And then when you play these really good teams, Kentucky has set the foundation now where they should be able to go and take a swing at these teams and at least be competitive. And if a couple things bounce right, you should be able to, you know, pull a big upset. You're not going to do it if you can't score points.
Right.
The way the SEC is trending right now.
And Florida is you kind of saw it in the first half of the Vandy game where I've made fun of Todd Grantham many a times for just blitzing his ass off. And because the thing is it reminds me of the old Ryan brothers Rob down in New Orleans when it was just like, we're going to bring the house. And it works for Mullen because he's got a great offense. So who really cares? You know,
especially this year.
Yeah. Like, you have the offense to do it. So why not just go for big plays on defense? Because when you blitz like that, you're either going to make big plays or you're just giving the offenses huge opportunities to make big plays. And look, that's why this should be the easiest week to make some, like to get some chunk plays. So I think it is fair to let the jury be out, because, you know, if Terry Wilson can, you know, I mean, it is a chess match to an extent. Sometimes you're just going to lose some of those. But the times that you have the blitz picked up correctly, you should be able to hit some big plays against this Florida defense.
Mm-hmm. But they just haven't seen it all year. That's why Florida's allowed 7 touchdowns of 40-plus yards this season.
Yeah. In vain. I mean, I watched more Florida Vanderbilt
Vandy's than
I
one
thought
of
I was going to. Yeah, one. Of, yeah, that was really – how about Dan Mullen?
He broke 8 tackles.
Go into the locker room.
Yeah.
We're going to get dressed in the hotel. Can you imagine how uncomfortable that bus ride would be with your full pads on? I guess they probably didn't have shoulder pads on.
Andy Staples tweeted out something of, I think it was Florida or Vandy's Twitter account, tweeted out game day, and it was a shot of the stadium, and you could see, like, the buildings in the background. And one of them was the Marriott. He says that you can watch the game from the elliptical in the workout room of the Marriott, the inside the stadium.
Oh, that's great. That's great. What could not aside from Kyle Pitts, who's the scariest pass catcher Florida's got?
I mean, Tony can break it at any point. The thing with this passing attack is just so balanced. They got so many weapons, and Trask is just—he's been on fire. Trask throws the ball in traffic a lot, and he throws some flutters, and he throws the ball up in the air. He's got that like Russell Wilson pop-up pass kind of thing going on. And there'll be a throw where you're like, this is getting intercepted, and boop, it just hits a receiver in their hands. I think that's the scariest part, because Florida, it's kind of an air raid offense in the fact that really they're running the ball just to keep you honest. Like, and they do it, like, their running backs low key are probably I think maybe the most dangerous part of their passing game in a weird way, because when they go to them, they usually get 10, 12 yards. They help move the chains. And, like, if you're checking down the guys like that and they're getting yards, like, it just helps your offense in so many ways. And then they play a lot of receivers, and they're all pretty good. I mean, they're pretty good, and they got pretty good size on the outside. And then Tony's just this, you know, dynamic slot receiver.
I forget what week it was, but you said Dan Mullen better be sending Mark Stoops a thank you card. Should be at least a gift basket at this point.
Yeah.
Because,
well, though, if you look Kyle at the
Trask,
Vandy game,
you're welcome for Kyle Trask.
If you look at the Vandy game, Vandy passed the ball really well against them. The problem was they couldn't run it. If they would have had Keon Henry Brooks, that game would have been closer. Vandy probably scores a touchdown to 10 more points with Brooks, Keon Henry Brooks, in the game.
Did they ever find out what was wrong with him?
I would assume he broke his rib.
Yeah,
that's what it looked like.
Never see, like, some of these injury updates, trying to find them online. I was trying to figure out what the hell was going on with Tulsa's quarterbacks, because they were down to their third when they chucked up that Hail Mary. Was it Friday night, I guess?
Mm-hmm.
But they got their game canceled. So did Wisconsin and Minnesota today. It's Tuesday, and we already got games canceled. Really disappointed. Don't get to see Mike. My goodness, that Minnesota, they got away with just highway robbery against Purdue. It was a crime, an absolute freaking crime. Stupid pass interference. I'm not mad about it. You're mad about it. But anyway, back to Florida. What are the chances Kentucky pulls a 2018?
Not very good. They just don't have the ammo, man. Like, that's all it comes down to. They just don't have the ammo to keep up. Like, Florida is fine playing, like, a limited possession game. Like, they're not going tempo. They're cool with just slowly marching down the field with their passing game. But the problem is they're, like, scoring all the time. Their punter is averaging less than 2 punts a game.
And it's one of the McPhersons, right? Or
that's their place kicker.
They've had a McPherson and who's the kicker?
Townsend.
Boy? Townsend's.
It's not a Townsend this year.
Yeah, they had Townsend's there for, like, 10 years.
It was like the Florida's version of Tennessee's Colquitt.
Yeah, they had him forever. So at least they finally moved on from there. And you know what? Hey, first time this year, Kentucky won't be on the network. ESPN, we're getting Joe Tess and Greg McElroy. I haven't confirmed that, but they always get that ESPN.
I think it's a Dvorak. We're getting Dvorak, I think I saw.
No, we don't get Tess?
No, we're getting Dusty.
Damn it.
And Mark Jones.
Man, I miss Joe Tess doing SEC games. He just has that big game voice. And I'm tired of them poaching all of our good teams from the SEC network. I hope they don't do that with Tom Hart, Rogers, and Kubelik, because they're the only good they're the only good announcing team they got left over there. For a while, hell, they had Musburger on Saturday night.
I know.
They've had
him and Palmer.
It's been a great farm system just for developing talent over there.
Look at Rutledge right now.
Yeah, I know, and they're still keeping it on SEC Nation. No, it's good for her, at least for doing ads. You know, she gets to do all those Academy ads and everything, but she's NFL for the most part, besides that SEC Nation show.
Mm-hmm.
But a nooner on ESPN.
The key for this, I would just like Kentucky, come out fast start. Can you hang around, get in the second half within striking distance? And then the thing with this game, it's going to be limited possession. So if you can move the chains on offense, put together some long drives, and get a timely turnover too, you might have a chance there to make something happen. But do we know if Chris Rodriguez was a negative test Stoops was talking about?
I don't think he was.
All right.
I'm pretty sure it was Jamin Davis because
– Okay.
Just from – I mean, he – the depth chart addition stuff, that would make the most sense because that's what I'm most certain that's the case.
Okay. Well,
I can do some digging, but I don't think it's Rodriguez.
Because Rodriguez in this game, like, he could be a guy I could see having a lot of success running against Florida. Problem with Kentucky's other backs are there. It's a lot of 2-1, 3-yard gains. And then they'll pop a 10 where Rodriguez can go 5-6-7, 5-6-7 over and over and over.
Yeah.
And that hurts because when that happens, you get behind the chains and then you have to lean on your passing game. And we've seen what happens when Kentucky has to lean on their passing game.
I will at least say that A.J. Rose played a good game.
That was his best game of the season.
Yeah. He played well without having Rodriguez there, but you got limited snaps in the second half or in the final three quarters in general and just couldn't get anything going. So, well, I don't want to think.
Yeah, I don't know. Like, anymore. I worry about. Man, like, if they go out here and get house, which I think is definite possibility. Like, I could definitely see them losing 45-10.
Oh, yeah. I'm just hoping it's not 60 again at this point. Like,
yeah, but, like.
What worries me, Luckett, is that the 45-10 or whatever happens, and then Carolina has some opt-outs and some COVID, and then you don't get to beat up on somebody at the end of the year. I worry about that because we've talked about it before. Very important how you end seasons. And if you end with Florida, Bama, and nothing else before a bowl game,
yeah,
like, duh.
Yeah, it just, it's going to be bad if they, because, like, we got the whole kind of, all the basketball tweets that drive me freaking crazy during that game on Saturday. There's nothing. I want to, I don't get more hashtag mad online than when I see that. Oh, it makes me so mad. Yeah, it drives me up a wall. Like, why can't we have two sports? Why do we have to make these stupid jokes?
Well, because, you know, it's one of those things where, especially in social media, you try to get the low-hanging fruit.
Try to be corny funny.
Well, and it's also like if you can be the first to it, then your friend might think like, oh, that's good. Even though, I mean, come on, we've heard it 1,000 times. It's to the point where it's like a cliche with announcers.
You're making fun of yourself, though. It drives me crazy.
To be fair, though, it is going to be nice to watch some Kentucky basketball this week.
And I tell Taylor this all the time. Another thing that drives me crazy, I go to a football game and I see Kentucky people wearing basketball jerseys.
Oh, see, I get that from one, like, I did a thing one year where I wore a football jersey during basketball games and basketball jersey during football games because of luck. So I don't think that's always the case. Like, I'm just a weirdo.
No, I don't
like
think that. It is.
But yeah, I get where you're coming from. And also the jerseys that they sell to Kentucky fans, the football jerseys, very obnoxious with the sleeves. The sleeves are a whole lot. It's not like the kind of sleeves that they have on the uniforms. The sleeves on the jerseys fans get are very obnoxious.
Yes. Now, I know that's probably, I'm a little out there on that, but the whole, just the afternoon on Twitter was not a good afternoon.
No.
Between that and the whole, like, all the blowout jokes I had to see and this and that, it was not my favorite day to be on social media.
Well, you know what is going to be pretty great, though, is we got an Egg Bowl this weekend, damn it. We talked about the Egg Bowl for almost 300, I mean, it was a regular part of our podcast for the longest time. Now we finally get the Egg Bowl, and it sucks like it because Mississippi State is just god awful. And
I know they showed some signs of life last weekend, though.
Well, let's hope they give a little bit of life. Let's hope this rivalry brings it out of them. I mean, it's got to, right?
Leach is he's about a player or two away from playing guys both ways.
I mean, they had, like, what, 45 that they played last week? And I thought the limit was 53. They just decided, oh, you know, we've got enough. We haven't been hit too hard at one position group. We'll do just fine.
Yeah, I props to them. And I love that, like, Kentucky came out and played and there was no backing down from that. I think that's kind of like how it's kind of their backbone of how they are as a program. So I was glad to see them. And I think Stoops made some good comments. And I do think Stoops is good kind of in those tough situations.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's when he's at his best talking to the media.
Yeah, no, you're exactly right. When things are difficult and he has to, like, actually, which
give a straight up answer.
Yeah, exactly. He doesn't dilly dally around. And I appreciate it. So actually, Ole Miss opened as 12-point favorites, bet down to 9.5 already in this Egg Bowl. 10 points. I could see a 10-point win.
It'll be a fun game.
Yeah, that'll be fun. It's not on Thursday though. We don't get there's only a couple games on Friday. It's not our usual Thanksgiving week of football games, but I guess, you know, there's some basketball thrown in there that'll be decent.
There was a tweet that went around when South Carolina was running for like 600 yards on Ole Miss, and it was Ron Swanson. Like, I guess he was didn't want to, like, he likes eating meat or whatever, so he didn't want to eat fruits or whatever, so he's got this disgusted look on his face because he's trying to eat a banana, and it was Mike Leach contemplating running the ball against this Ole Miss fruit. Like, knows I should do it, but it stands against everything I want to be.
You know what? It'd be a good time to have Colin Hill, though.
Yeah.
It'd be a real good time to have Colin Hill. Iron Bowl.
It's going to be a fun game. It'll be a fun game.
Iron Bowl's this weekend, too, correct?
Yeah, 3:30 CBS. By all accounts, Auburn is a legit top 25 team. And Auburn's land, or Alabama's land, like, 30 points.
24 and a half right now.
Is that what it is?
Yeah. But, I mean, it's kind of like the Indiana game where
– my hopes are in this game. It's like back in 2008, Kentucky was just an okay team. They went and played Florida. Florida started the season not all that great. They lost. Tim Tebow gave the speech. And then, like, Kentucky went down there and lost 63-5.
Mm-hmm.
Got like two punts blocked. Just got the dog, you know what, kicked out of them. Florida goes on and win a national championship. It was one of the better college teams we've seen in the last 10, 15 years.
Mm-hmm.
Hopefully Alabama's just that this year.
Yeah, they're pretty good.
Because their defense
– pretty good.
Well, they haven't played a quarterback yet, so we'll see. But their defense has really cranked it up here the last couple weeks. They're starting to learn how to play modern defense, which is more kind of give up some free yards, but be really good when you get backed up in the red zone, force some turnovers. So we'll see. Their secondary is damn good, but yeah, we'll see. So hopefully that's what that game was more just Buzzsaw starting to ramp up. Now they were going to win it with Waddle. Without him, it changes their offense because it's very Devontae Smith heavy.
Yeah. Which pretty good.
But if you can limit him just a little bit, it makes them a lot more easy to manage through. But that's easier said than done. He's really good.
Well, I how do I say this? Like it, I'm tired of hearing about Alabama because that sucked the life out of me. So I've got a question before we go. You and I, we're both from big families. That's kind of how we roll. And the secret to Thanksgiving when you're in a big family is the first time you go through, you can't rely on seconds being around the next time you come. Like, it just might not be there. It might be gone. So what's the one food that you make sure you load up on that first plate to make sure, just in case there aren't seconds there whenever you come back?
I might answer this question by telling you a story.
Okay.
So, like, I love mashed potatoes. I love our Thanksgiving at my family, how we make them. My grandma made them for a long time. Now my mom makes them the same way. They are just awesome. And I'll eat a whole mountain of them at Thanksgiving.
It's probably got like the skin in there too, some good chunks.
Yeah, there's some chunks, but there's no skin. They're pretty down, but they are so good. So anyway, when I first start dating my wife now, Taylor, she comes to our first Thanksgiving. Okay, now at my parents' house, it's huge. We got aunts, uncles. I mean, there's 25 people at the big dining room table probably, or up to that amount maybe. And so they have the little bowls singled out everywhere. So I just grab a bowl of mashed potatoes, like for myself. These are mine. And like Taylor is like getting mad at me. She's like, so she was getting like irate. Like, what are you doing? You can't just eat a whole bowl of mashed potatoes. I said, welcome to our Thanksgiving. Just chill out. This is why you'll be fine.
Yes, there's going to be more.
And then there's 28 bowls on the table. We'll be fine. And then that's me. That's what I'll do. A lot of mashed potatoes to start off. I fill it to the brim on the first plate.
Oh, well, yeah.
Then you kind of dink and dunk what you want after that.
I'm big on dinking and dunking with desserts because I don't really want a whole piece of pie. I just want to like sample a few different kinds, you know?
So you got to space it out. I usually go big on, you know, we do it early. So we do like a
one, it's like 1 o'clock kind of hybrid kind of deal.
Yeah. So then you do that, lay around, take a nap, maybe eat a little bit after that, and then like kind of get into the desserts around 7. When you gave it room to digest, so you can really, you know, get your hands in a lot of pots.
Here's another question. Is it Bud Light time on Thanksgiving Day, or do you change it up to leave a little bit more room? Because it gets crowded if you're beer drinking. It's tough.
Usually what we do is on Wednesday night, we usually go out. Last couple of years, we've gone to Roosters and had a grand old time from about 6 p.m. to close.
Mm-hmm.
But now that's closed down. So, because usually it's strictly a non-drinking day for me. It's a little hangover mixed with a lot of good food and a nap, football, dessert, all of that.
It's tough. You're gonna make decisions.
And then relaxing for getting ramped up for, you know, Rivalry Saturday coming up.
Right.
But now we don't have that. So I don't know. This will be the first one where I'm intentionally going to drink, I think, at Thanksgiving.
Oh, man. Yeah.
This week's been weird because not having the rivalry game this Saturday stinks. This is one of the times in this weird season where I thought, man, this stinks.
Yeah. And yeah, it does. And it's just not the same fanfare when, like, you're going to have a big meal, but it's only, like, immediate family. You know, you're not seeing Cousin Charlie, Uncle Joe, that kind of deal. So, like, my aunt, she would make this hot apple cider and just pour a bunch of Old Forester in it. And, like, that's some good stuff, you know, by fire or something late at night. So, it's not going to be the same, but just as much, we hope you all have a blessed and happy Thanksgiving. Because, you know, even though times have been trying, there's plenty to be thankful for. Despite this Kentucky football season, we're thankful we've had it. We were dying to have it. Sometimes you got to be careful what you wish for, Luckett, but it hasn't been all down. And who knows? Something crazy could happen on Saturday. I mean, Kentucky did win the last time they were at Florida, so
I will say they're due for some breaks for sure.
Yeah,
so a couple bounces.
Let's make it happen, and let's enjoy this holiday. And we hope you've enjoyed listening to Loving Personnel. We'll be back again next week. Until then, go Cats, go Kroger.